Well, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. This day is a gift from God. We come to celebrate both the gift and the giver. Good morning once again, and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us on this rainy day, and especially if you've made that effort to be here for the very first time or you've just begun attending. We're especially pleased that you're here with us. Those who are here week in and week out would like to greet you, shake your hand, offer a word of welcome. But if we don't get to you quickly enough, you come introduce yourselves to us, because we are delighted that you're here and would love it if you would make a home here with us. One of the ways to do that is by becoming involved in the many things God is doing in and through this congregation. You'll find a number of those listed in your bulletin inserts. I'm going to lift up just a few here in the announcements. First of all, next Sunday from 5 to 7, there will be a reception honoring the 36-year ministry of Don Marler here as Minister of Music. It will be at Judy Rice's house. Reservations are very, very, very helpful. You can read more about the details of it in your bulletin insert, but just be sure and put that on your calendar for next Sunday. Also, because we've had a good response to our pictorial directory, we are going to have a couple of additional dates in September. So if you weren't able to get your photograph made to this point, you will have another opportunity. Those dates will be posted next Sunday in Reed Hall, so you can sign up, or they'll be posted online this coming week, and you could sign up online if you chose to. Also, there is a table out in Reed Hall where you can learn about the many Bible study opportunities we have here. Please go there, explore the possibilities, and see what's right for you. This afternoon is a busy time for us. At 4 p.m. there will be a piano concert here in the sanctuary. You see the piano is here, and this piano, which usually is in the choir room, comes to us as a gift from the family of John Brenning, also with Marilyn Shields Wiltsy and Ted Wiltsy and the Music Fund. We're grateful for that. And this afternoon you'll get to hear Marilyn Shields Wiltsy, Dr. Steve Hyman, and our own Andrew Reisinger. If you come at 4 p.m. here in the sanctuary, you will be glad that you did. Also, our today service will be in Scales Chapel, just down the hall here, at 5 p.m. If you want a time of quiet and meditative prayer, it's just for you. A nice break from the hurly-burly of our lives. We have a table for Habitat signups out here if you haven't had a chance to do that, but also we're about $4,000 short of our hoped $30,000 contribution to the project. If you would like to give to that, simply put Habitat in the memo line of your check or on the outside of an envelope, and that would be very helpful. The one who causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust surrounds what is both just and unjust in us with love, like the air we breathe. Breathe deeply.
way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Give me an undivided heart to revere your name.
I give thanks to you, O my Lord.
With my whole heart, I will glorify your name forever.
You, O Lord, are merciful and gracious.
Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness.
Let us confess our shortcomings, recalling the words of Jesus. Jesus said, "Peace be with you." Yet sometimes we sow discord, neglecting to make peace with our sisters and brothers. Jesus said, "As God has sent me, so I send you." Yet sometimes we refuse to go, fearing to follow unknown paths of faith. Jesus said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Yet we turn away, rejecting the gifts of the Spirit. Forgive us, blessed God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Jesus said to the disciples, "Take heart, have no fear." As disciples, we no longer need to be burdened by guilt, no longer bound by fear. Be renewed through God's forgiving love. Be open to Christ's presence in your life. Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was asleep, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came to him and said, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Then, do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No. For in gathering the weeds, you will uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first, bind them up in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I have some friends who are coming down to sit with me, and any other of you who would care to come down and have a seat up front, you can bring your parents if you want to. It's perfectly all right. Good morning to everybody. Good morning. What a great group of smiling faces I have this morning to look into. Last week, I told those who were here a story about how my daddy used to send me out to pick up rocks from the garden. Well, that's not the only thing he sent me out to do. He also sent me out to pull weeds or to get rid of weeds. Sometimes we used a hoe, you know, and the hoe would have a long handle and a blade, and we would use that hoe to cut the weeds down. But we wanted to be sure we didn't cut down any of the good plants, the plants my dad wanted to keep, the beans or the tomatoes or the corn or the squash. Sometimes when they were very little, we would have to get down on our hands and knees and pull the weeds out. The problem was that some of the weeds looked a lot like the plants that we were supposed to leave. So I'm sure every now and again we got one of the good plants along with the weeds. In the story that you just heard Nancy read, and in the story I'm going to be talking about, Jesus talks about just this very thing. He says that the owner of the farm when weeds grew up among his wheat, said, "Don't pull the weeds out, because you might pull up the good plants when you're pulling the weeds. Let them all grow together, and after they've all grown together, God will harvest them, and God's angels will sort out the good wheat. They would take it to a place called the threshing floor, and they would get the grains of wheat. The weeds would be tied into bundles and burned, and also the stalks of the wheat, once the grains were off, once the good fruit was taken off, would be tied into bundles and burned as well." So as you listen to this, I mean, part of it makes pretty good sense. But on the other hand, part of it doesn't. So I'm going to talk about why Jesus would tell a story in which the main character would say, "Oh, just let the weeds grow along with the wheat," which my daddy never once said to me. Okay? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for sowing good seed in our hearts and in our lives, the seed of your love. We pray that we may grow to produce the fruit of that love and to share that love with all we meet. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming down. Last week, we talked about the parable of the sower, and that dealt with a specific problem that Matthew was having in his community. And that was that there were some folks who just couldn't hear the gospel. There were other folks who heard it and got real excited and then left very quickly. There were others who, though they took root in the community because of the cares of the world and the cares about money, they left. And then there were others who were left to hold down the fort, so to speak. Well, that appears in three of the gospels. This story today only appears in Matthew, but I think Matthew intends it as a continuation of last week's story. It's another one of those agricultural parables, but he's dealing with a different question or a different problem. Why is it among those who are left, after all the others have gone, those who have heard the gospel and are rooted here, why is it that there's so many weeds? We're not all bearing fruit. Because you see, the only difference between a weed and the stalk of wheat is the stalk of wheat bears fruit. The weed doesn't. Now, they both take nourishment from the soil. They both depend upon the rain and the water, but only one bears fruit. And we talked last week about the primary job of the followers of Jesus is to bear fruit. Well, as I said to the children, my father did not subscribe to Jesus' idea of farming in this story, okay? He did not believe that you ought to let the weeds grow along with the other plants. You were to get rid of those weeds. But in this story, Jesus has the farmer, once he has sowed good seed and someone else has snuck in and sowed weeds, to say, let them both grow together. At the harvest, we'll figure it out. We'll sort it all out. Then it's not your problem. It's not your issue to figure out who's wheat and who's weeds. Your job is to bear fruit. One of the big problems is Matthew's community, it appears, couldn't hear that, because a little bit later there is an interpretation of this story. Now, in my opinion, the story comes from Jesus, but the interpretation may have been shaded a little or actually created by Matthew's community, because there are elements in there that don't appear in the original story. You see, in the interpretation, the person who slips in at night and sows the seeds is the enemy. So the weeds that grow up are the result of the enemy, okay? And at the end, now, of course, you just let them grow together, but at the end of time, when God and the angels harvest all of these, not only are the bundles of weeds thrown in the fire, but this is seen in Matthew's interpretation as a punishment. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But, of course, the good wheat, us, we'll be fine because we'll be on the threshing floor. The interesting thing is, in that original parable, the burning of the weeds is not framed as a punishment at all. I had a teacher, I traveled to Israel in the 1980s on several occasions, and I had a professor there, Dr. James Fleming, who suggested a different interpretation for this particular story. His interpretation was that the bundling of the weeds into shocks that could be burned, and of course the stalks of wheat would be done the same way. They would be bundled too once the grain was threshed, once the grain was taken from it. That was his idea, that this was God's economy, and in God's economy nothing was lost. Even the weeds had a purpose. They didn't bear fruit, but they were useful. Even the stalks of wheat that did bear fruit had a purpose. Now, one reason I like Jim Fleming's interpretation is that the other interpretation historically has gotten us into a lot of trouble, because the church always loves to choose who are the weeds and who are the wheat. Of course, we're the wheat, right? In Matthew's community, there was a conflict going on with the synagogue. And so in Matthew's community, the Jewish folks who could not accept Jesus as Messiah were the weeds, and those who could were the wheat. Well, in the synagogue, those who rejected Jesus as Messiah were the wheat, and those in Matthew's community who accepted Jesus as Messiah were the weeds. And we Christians have kept that tradition going. After all, there was a period of time when the Catholics believed they were the wheat, and we Protestants were the weeds, and we Protestants believed that we were the wheat, and they were the weeds. Where'd that get us? You see, we like to try to decide who will be interpreted as the wheat and who will be interpreted as the weeds. And of course, those who agree with me are wheat, and all those other people are weeds. And we do that with lots of different groups of people. From early in the history of the church, there were those heretics that were weeds, right? And you can do away with them. If you look at the Middle East today, the Palestinian folk believe that the Jewish folk and the Jewish state constitute weeds that need to be plucked up and thrown away, while they are the wheat. And on the other hand, the Jewish citizens of Israel think they are the wheat, and the Palestinians need to be plucked and thrown away because they're weeds. You see where it gets us? Do you see where this interpretation leads? It is not where Jesus was leading us. It was not about bearing fruit. It is about judging others. But guess what? The wheat doesn't get to decide who's a stalk of wheat and who's a weed. That only happens at the harvest. God decides that, okay? The office of judge of the universe is not vacant. None of us need apply. The job of the wheat is simply to bear fruit, the fruit of God's love. We said that last week. I'm saying it again because it's so very important. Our job is not to try to decide who's in and who's out. Our job is simply to bear fruit. Let the two grow together, and God will sort it out in God's time and in God's way. That interpretation where we come up with an us and them, and the us is always right and the them is always wrong, results from what Robin Myers, who is a writer and a pastor and a professor out in Oklahoma, and who will be our Clark lecturer in the spring. Robin Myers says, that's the kind of theology you get when you do theology without a poet in the room. Because these stories are about metaphors. They're about similes. And you have to allow that resonant language to happen. Now, I didn't bring along a poet to be in the room, but I brought a storyteller, a short story writer, to be in the room because, you see, I think Flannery O'Connor can help us with this particular issue and this particular interpretation. In the very last story she published, the very last story she finished, actually, before her death, a story called Revelation, she portrays a good woman, a woman who obviously thinks she is the wheat. Okay? Her name is Mrs. Turpin. Mrs. Turpin lives a clean life. She does all the proper things. She even hoses down her hogs just to make sure they're cleaner than everybody else's hogs. She finds herself, along with her husband, Claude, in a doctor's office. And she's looking at the people gathered there, and she's finding the weeds. I mean, there is a poor woman and her son. There are all those people that thank God. She thanks God she is not. And she's very vocal about this. She thanks God she is not African-American, although she doesn't use that term. She thanks God that she's not poor white trash, which I would have been considered growing up. She thanks God that she's not like these people who don't have manners. She thanks God. Finally, she's talking to a lady whose daughter is sitting over to the side reading a book called Human Development. And she jumps up and she says something terribly offensive to Mrs. Turpin. She says, "Why don't you go back to hell where you came from, you old warthog?" Nobody had ever said that to her, okay? She never expected anybody to say that to her because she was wheat. She was a good woman. She knew it because she wasn't like all these other people. She even hosed down her hogs. Okay? Now, spoiler alert, I'm going to tell you the end of the story. So you can either plug your ears, or a better choice would be to go read the story. Because believe me, Flannery O'Connor does it a whole lot better than my poor summary could ever do. She goes home and she's really troubled. She was startled by this outburst from the young woman. But often, O'Connor uses that kind of outburst, sometimes even violence, as an opening into grace for people, as an opening into a deeper understanding. So when she goes home, she can't sleep. She's troubled by these things. And finally, at the end of the story, she goes out to do the one thing that she knows reminds her that she's wheat. She goes out to hose down the hogs. And she's spraying them down, getting them good and clean. And all of a sudden she has a vision. And in the vision there is this arc of light, like a bridge or a road. And on that road, she sees all those people that she is glad she's not like. The African Americans, the poor white trash, the people who don't have manners, those who can't walk, can't see, can't hear. She describes some of them as jumping and leaping like frogs. But then where is she? Toward the end of that line of people, she sees the good, respectable folks, the folks she would belong with. And O'Connor says she could tell by their altered faces that even their virtues had been burned away. What a striking thing to say. All of these virtues that make us better than other people get burned away. All of those things that make us thankful we're not like them get burned away. Remember, the stalks of wheat get burned along with the weeds as soon as the grain is taken. They become fuel. God can use the fruit that we bear, but just be prepared. That inside us, which is weed, the things that have grown up inside us that don't produce fruit, that take the nourishment, are burned away. And if Flannery O'Connor's right, even the virtues go by the wayside. Because all that matters is that we have borne fruit that gets passed along to someone other than us, that gets shared beyond ourselves and our little circle. That's what lives on. for the time being, we just let the two grow together. At least that's what Jesus said. We come together as a community because we have a common story, and we share that common story through affirmations and creeds. So I'll invite you to stand with me as you're able. Turn to number 883 in your hymnal and join with me as we affirm our faith together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life and death, and life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gathered here for worship on this day. If you're a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you, and we invite you to join us out these doors to your right for a time of fellowship and an opportunity to meet some people and feel welcomed. If you are a first-time visitor, you can stop by the Bread for the Journey table out in Reed Hall and pick up a small loaf of bread as a token of appreciation for being with us. Now, if you're a college student, graduate or undergraduate, you're invited to meet out in the narthex behind the church here and convene there to go have lunch together for a time of fellowship and conversations about worship and Scripture. Then you'll gather each week to have lunch together and to get to know each other and get to know the church. And we welcome all of those Vanderbilt students who might be joining us after moving in this past week. I also, at this point, invite you to look at the gray communication cards in the pew racks directly in front of you. One side is for prayer concerns, and the other side is for questions or comments for staff or lay leadership of the church. If you complete those, you can place them in the offering tray when it comes around in just a moment. If you have not yet passed your attendance pads, you'll find those on the inside of each pew. If you pass those down, record your attendance, and as it comes back by, open those up, look at the names of the people that you're worshiping with, and say hello after the service. Even call them by name. A great way to build the community and the body of Christ here at West End. We celebrate this day with Cole and Jenny Gustafson on the birth of their son, Oliver Dell Gustafson. Oliver was born on Monday, August 11th, and it's a joy. Prepare us now, O God, to hear you speak to us as we lift up both our silent and our spoken prayers. May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, creator of all things, good and bountiful, as we move into the unknown of each new day, be our steady companion and guide. We thank you for creating in us your image, and we pray that you open our eyes to the wonders and beauty of your world, the lush greens, the wide skies, the incredible diversity of habitat and creature that you have made. Fill us with passion to be faithful stewards of our earthly home. God of hope and promise, we lift up to you those who struggle with illness, and all who care for them. We ask that you surround members of this community with your love and connection through us. Lord, we ask that you remember as we do, the people of Sierra Leone and the other African communities where the Ebola virus is causing such terror, illness, and grief. And we pray for all those who are seeking to contain the epidemic. We pray for war-torn lands, and we ask that you keep hope for peace alive in Gaza, Iraq, the Ukraine, and all places where hope may be flailing. Be with all who seek to help the wounded and grieving and raise up the next generation of leaders that might allow people to live in peace and patience. Many of us struggle with depression, pain, grief, loneliness, and fear. And we find ourselves looking for comfort in places where we're probably not going to find it. Guide us to turn to you for solace and healing. And when we forget to turn to you, God, embrace us in spite of ourselves. Surround us with your presence and connect us to each other so that secure in the embrace of your love, we might grow closer to you. All these prayers we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May we be sowers of the good seed and give of our talent and time and treasure. May these gifts be used with wisdom and with justice in the church and throughout the world.
Now may the seed of God's love that has been planted in your life flourish and bear fruit. Go forth to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do. And God, whose very name and nature is love, Jesus Christ, God's love in the flesh, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to share the loving light of Christ with others, will be with you this day and forevermore. Go in peace.